Hi, I'm Matt. I don't.
Hi, Gary.
I don't trust them to do a sensible intro now.
No, it's just listen to him.
Him.
He speaks in sentences.
This is Tabletop Time Machine 2. We're still in the kitchen.
The revenge.
One speaks the truth. The other only lies.
Watch the thing.
This is the last thing we're filming today. After a long time.
And this is the mic stand we ordered.
The reason my camera shot's been slightly high up all through this is because we're down a mic stand and we hoped that Amazon Prime would get it here. And no, we're rolling.
We'll use it in
the
series.
Welcome to the provinces, Londoners.
Here we go again. This is the Technical Difficulties, and this is the Tabletop Time Machine.
It's a kitchen.
Delving into the temporal depths today, as ever, joining me are Chris Joel.
Hello.
Gary Grannan.
We know what it is, we know who did it, but for God's sake, tell us where you did it.
And Matt Gray.
Hi.
Our kitchen time machine has crash-landed somewhere and somewhen in the past, and we need to charge up the fact batteries to get out of here.
Fact batteries. The factories.
Roll with it, okay?
It's just what we've got.
Just roll with it. First challenge is to work out where and when we are, and I will start by telling you that our time machine seems to have been attracted to an enormous mass of concrete.
Is it the 60s?
Yeah, it could be a Le Corbusian nightmare. Yeah.
It could be. Is it Coventry?
You're just going to slate a load of towns.
Is it any university built in the 60s?
No. It's a much bigger mass of concrete.
Are we in Roman Rome?
Roman Rome? Not any of that non-Roman Rome.
Welcome to French Rome.
Well, not technically, because anything from Rome is technically Roman, and then I was distinguishing the period, which is the Roman period.
Welcome to British Britain.
Well, no, you'd have Norman Britain or Anglo-Scandinavian Britain.
He's got a point, you know.
Just the way I'm sat.
The old ones. Are we somewhere nuclear related?
Oh, no. And I will tell you that the scanners read nothing above normal in the air.
We have scanners!
This time machine has everything!
Oh, so we're before the 50s?
Yes, we are.
But are we within a drive of Las Vegas?
Yes.
Are we at that big off dam?
Oh, yeah!
Yes! As the scanner that you can't see on your camera slides back to reveal
the big off
the
dam.
Big Hoover Dam.
That's the one.
Fact!
So, is it a fact?
Well, it's called the Hoover Dam, so it's probably a fact. Yeah.
Although it wasn't called that then.
Is that because the president hadn't hoovered anything yet?
I was going to say, was it called the Vacuum Dam?
Of which president?
Hoover.
Fact!
This is brilliant!
Let's charge those batteries!
Some days the fact batteries almost charge themselves, don't they?
Does anyone know what it's currently called?
Is it Three Rivers? No, that's Chinese one, isn't it?
No, Three Gorges.
Three Gorges.
Three Gorges is the one in China.
Gorgeous!
Finished in the 21st century.
Colorado something?
No, but the Colorado's... Why is Colorado connected to it? Because it's in Nevada.
Isn't that the river?
The river that's
fact!
It's the big Colorado stopper.
Yeah, I mean, the batteries aren't charging off that, but yeah.
You need to look at something we can't see and go, well, the batteries don't seem to want to charge on that fact.
If only we had some batteries on clear display in shops.
Is it in Arizona?
Okay, you're...
Is it on the border?
Utah. Yes, yeah. Between
Nevada and Arizona.
Yay! We got there in the end. Like, all the words were there, just not necessarily in the right order. Boulder Dam.
Boulder. Oh, I've heard of that before.
I wouldn't mind, but A, I've been driven over it, and B, while driving to the Grand Canyon...
You've been driven over it? What, like cattle?
Yeah.
Get on, Gary! Get on!
That's what happens when you go to Vegas for a week.
Gotta sell your hide in Arizona.
Happens. We were driving out on a bus tour to the Grand Canyon, and while we were going, they showed us a very long and detailed film about the construction of the Hoover Dam, of which I couldn't remember no facts.
It's near Boulder City, Nevada, which is why it was called
Boulder
Dam.
Is that one that sprung up while they were building the dam?
No, didn't they demolish it to put the dam there?
Two diverging reasons here. One is creation, the other is destruction.
Fact.
Whoa!
The only reason it's there is to house workers contracted to build the Hoover Dam. Well, the Boulder Dam. Originally, it was going to be at Boulder Canyon, which is about 20 miles north of the dam. The original plan was also not to use the massive concrete construction. What were they just going to do?
Explode it!
Fuck!
They were going to explode the canyon to block it.
They were going to explode the walls of Boulder Canyon into the river and use that as the dam.
But wouldn't that make it wider so then it would go around it?
So they rejected it on the grounds of unproven technique.
We came up with this idea and it turns out it's a shit idea.
Despite the fact that people have been really successfully building dams for quite a long time, someone sat there and thought, I can do this better with more explosions.
Now, yes, yes.
That's human history, let's face it. Mm. By the way, if we're talking when, which I don't think we've
got down yet, just thinking about.
I think we're talking 1930s, because it's post-Great Depression and it was a Hoovernomics-based thing to create work.
Like all the highway reconstruction and stuff where they stimulated the economy by creating jobs. Are you listening?
Yeah. Satire. We have a lot of unemployed...
Not so much satire, just historical facts.
We have a lot of unemployed people. We need to stimulate the economy down.
Let's give them something to do.
Yeah, effectively. Mm-hmm.
Why we don't need a dam. Let's just build one so people have something to work
for. Well, they did need the dam. That's been on the cards for a while.
But it was a thing was when they put it first on the cards, they said, well, there's not enough people to do this. Suddenly, lots of unemployed people unrolled plans for dam and goes, we could.
The money gets circulated back into the economy. They want consumer goods.
And we also need a Las Vegas.
Mm.
So, okay, so yeah, we're talking, I'm going to, okay, 1929... It's a Hoover, isn't it? One of the things that's kicked on by Hoover, who decides he's going to institute all these public works. So I'm saying 35.
Spot on.
Oh, that is... I can hear those batteries charging.
So what I'm doing here is I'm looking through other things in 1935 that are not immediately war related.
That we were a little bit preoccupied to have heard anything about.
Certainly, something was invented in February that year that we could all be sitting around a table doing right now.
Hungry, hungry hippos.
You're on the right line.
Monopoly!
Yes!
Ah!
Parker Brothers began selling Monopoly in 1935, thus setting the stage for decades of bitter family resentment.
I was gonna say,
well, it was designed to show the evils of capitalism, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fact.
Yes!
I'm going to call this game Absolute Financial Attitude. Can we have Monopoly instead? Well, you're on your head, be it. I think mine was better.
Might go misunderstood.
What was first used in Daventry?
Cheese!
What was first used in Daventry?
I was expecting a country there.
I'm going to emphasise what was first used.
Soap.
The spoon.
What was
electricity.
Something along those lines. It was by Robert Watson Watt, who first demonstrated something in Daventry in February 1935.
Daventry?
Daventry.
Is there a somewhere in Daventry that specifically meant? Oh, no.
It involved that kind of... There was certainly a broadcast signal involved.
Was it the recording of something? Like recording something electronically? Radio signals or something like that?
Oh, you're very close with radio signals.
Radar?
Facts!
Why Daventry?
I believe that's where his workshop was.
Is it some kind of government research laboratory?
BBC broadcast station.
The BBC invented radar.
They had a shortwave broadcast station there, so that's where he broadcast his radar tests
from. Okay.
What did Bill W. start in June 1935?
Bill W.
Bill W. Are you just masking his second name here?
Well, that's what he's known as. He was actually William G. Wilson.
Oh, so it's not a water bill then?
Bill W.
I mention this because if you ever go on a cruise or something like that, you will see that there is a meeting regularly in the cruise calendar marked as the Friends of Bill W.
Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yes.
Really? Wait a minute, on a cruise?
Because cruisers tend to be what?
Extremely alcoholic.
All you can sup, aren't they, really?
Fact, absolutely. So if you are being taken on a cruise and you are in Alcoholics Anonymous, it is very handy to know when the meetings of them are.
Must be awkward if you are someone called Bill W.
Yes.
Hey, guys!
Hello. I understand this is in my honour.
Why the long faces?
I brought champagne.
July 1935, another invention first in Oklahoma City. And it's something that's just going to be by the side of the road quite a lot.
Tornado-proof road signs.
In Oklahoma, that's not reasonable. But this is the first working version of this. It was...
Traffic light.
There's
a lot earlier, I think.
Roadside emergency telephone.
Same kind of height, same kind of build, but it's not really there to help you.
The Hindi.
Roadside machine gun nest?
Is it one of those...
Again, we're going to skip over most of Europe at this point.
They were being installed.
Oh, speed camera.
What would that be like?
Yes. He's in the frame. He definitely wasn't speeding.
Yes. Bloke pops up with those big cameras with a big flash bulb on.
It's the same size. It's a similar shape, and it is not there to help you.
If our time machine happened to park up next to one, then we might be getting a bit of a bill.
Oh, parking meters.
Yes.
Damned if I'm being charged for my kitchen being on a sidewalk.
Doesn't even count as a moving vehicle, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's a planning issue.
Oh, but that could take months in the courts.
Yeah.
And hopefully by then we've charged f***ing batteries.
But let's just put a little bit of money in the meter just in case. Just to tie us over.
They can bollocks!
Yeah, they can clamp us, but we're in a time machine kitchen. How do you clamp a kitchen?
How do you clamp a time machine? You can just go back to before it was clamped.
Not if it's clamped.
Why would they have time machine clamps in
the clamping time machines!
Because the amount of times people go back to that time.
Just for the parking meter.
You'd work out how to clamp them.
Bloody H.G. Wells.
Coming in here. In the time machine, can we not just have a little bit of something in the drawer we can just put in a parking meter and then my conscience is fine, all right?
Jesus. But we need currencies from all times, places and...
Fortunately, we've got a time machine.
It's not a...
September 1935, there is an airspeed record set in the H1 Racer. Yes, that H is important. Who might have been piloting that?
Oh, that's...
Chuck Yeager?
No, it's Hughes. Howard Hughes.
Fact. Oh, it is, isn't it? Because yes. I was thinking he didn't...
Who? What did Chuck Yeager do?
Broke the sound barrier.
Fact.
Yeah. I'm saying 1935.
Oh,
well, yeah. Well, 1935.
Oh, no, because 47 for the sound barrier. So he was probably in high school.
He'd have been going on about doing something dangerous in a plane.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, the thing is with Chuck Yeager, it was basically a case of can we find the craziest, most competent person to throw the sound barrier.
That was 46, 47, so he probably wasn't enlisted in the military because he was quite young when he broke the sound barrier.
He'd have been the kid on the floor. He'd been a young man going, one day, I'm going to break the sound barrier.
Motorbikes, horses, something like that.
Can't do that. You can't break the sound barrier on a horse.
Any man could.
It's Chuck Yeager.
I would pay to watch him try.
The H1 Racer was the last airspeed record setting aircraft to be a certain thing.
Wasn't it manual control rather than assisted?
Open cockpit.
Blimey. Have a think about who else would be building aircraft for speed soon after that.
Oh, is it the first one done for fun, not for war?
It was the last one done for non-military purposes. Yeah, the last private plane to beat the airspeed record.
What holds it now?
So SR-71 for jet-powered. Atmospheric.
Yep.
Tupolev T-95 for prop driven. Call sign rare bear. No, I don't know.
It's the loud something or a grumbly bastard or whatever.
TU-95 Tupolev grumbly bastard.
which is
interesting because it uses contra-rotating props on turbo props and the wing and the propeller tips exceed the speed of sound.
Which is why it's called the grumbly bastard or something because it's really
bloody noisy. Yeah. And then I think the X-15 still got the rocket propelled, though NASA might have gone faster with one of the lifting body designs.
I mean, the batteries are charged. Which means we're taking off with the lever I don't have. The fact batteries are full. We're jumping to another time and place as our time machine takes off. We say thank you again to Chris Joel. To Gary Brannan. To Matt Gray.
I love those fact batteries.
I've been Tom Scott. We'll see you another time.
Oh, hey!
What time out.